Thank you, my good brother Plika. And as you know, this is the first Sunday of March. Every month I have a different subject, a different presentation to you, a different topic putting together. And this month, because we have the Resurrection Day at the end of the month, I decided to preach to you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus from different corners and from different people in the Bible. I want you to take a look today and Luke chapter 19, and I want you to look in verse 8 and 9, and I'm going to ask you a very simple common question that came to me as I read it. Luke chapter 19, verse 8. And Zacchaeus, that's the name of this IRS man, stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now, that's a confession, according to the book of Exodus, chapter 22, 1, that a believer should make when he repents and comes to the Lord, all right? Now, look at verse 9. Now, my question is from verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, in other words, to you, because he also is a son of Abraham, which means he's a son of faith, all right? And so, in today's terminology, all right, 2,000 years later, we use another vocabulary for that. We say, you are a saved man. You heard that. People say, oh, I'm saved. Well, what do you mean by that? And what did Jesus mean by saying he's a son of Abraham, he's a man of faith? What means to be saved, all right? So I'm interested in how that happened in his life. How come I talk to so many people and they care less about the Lord Jesus? And out of the blue, this man comes and believes. And Jesus goes down and said, well, you're a saved man. You're a son of Abraham. That means you're a believer. So happened in my life and happened in many of your lives who are here and many who are listening over the radio and the internet. And how do we explain this? It's very hard to explain. It's very difficult. I'm not talking about being a Roman Catholic or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal. No, I'm talking about being saved, like Jesus said. You're a son of Abraham. That means it's an expression of the Old Testament by saying you're a believer. All right? How that happened? So let us take a good look at the passage and consider together this thought. How Zacchaeus got saved. All right, you can tell me, I ask many people, are you saved? And they say, yes, and they tell me a testimony or an event in his life where somewhere, somehow, the understanding of God clicked in his mind, and now that person feels saved. So I want to go through the passage and see the events. These are historical events, and so are reliable, and I can look on it and see what took place over there and see if I can put it together so that we understand how Zacchaeus got saved. And perhaps this is your term today, whether you are here or in the airways, perhaps this is the turn for you to say, oh, I got it, and then you too become saved, all right? Number one, in verses 1 to 4, we're going to look on it. He experienced a divine confrontation. All right? Now, let's take a good look. Now, let's see who was this man. Okay? Verse 2 tells you a little bit. All right? Of course, the profession that he had at that time is the same today. Now, look on it. Verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. That's the city in the area. And now behold, said verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. That's an IRS man. He was a chief IRS man. who was and he was rich, and later on you're going to learn that he was a little crook as a tax collector, and he got a lot of money on the side, all right? So he was a chief, and King James talked about a publican. He was a chief at the top of the IRS. I don't know what title in America will be, but the top guy. We have people listening who were top guys in the IRS, and they are listening to our broadcast over Baltimore and different places like that. And I'm glad they are with us, all right? He was on the top line of a business position legally under the higher by the Roman Empire, who was in control at this time. Now, what did he desire in his life? Look at verse 3. Look at what he desired. And he sought to see who Jesus was. You know, we talk about Jesus, and very seldom people ask me, and who is this Jesus? I'm talking about Jesus from different aspects of his life to trigger in the mind of people a question. And the question should be, and who is this Jesus? Now, this man got it. Look at verse 3. He said, to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was, I don't want to offend anybody, he was short, all right? So he cannot see, all right? He has one desire. He has money, he has fame, he has position, he has everything you desire in this world. But he was one thing, he said, what is this business about Jesus? I hear that he healed the sick. I hear he resurrected somebody. Who is this guy? That he paid taxes? Who knows, you know? And he said, I want to see him. I wonder if some of you in your life, at one moment or another, said, well, so much religions around, I want to see Jesus. I wonder if that came to you. That's a good position to be. I want to see Jesus. Then, and by the way, this is not the only person that wants to see Jesus. You put one hand and look and hold that position, you go to the next book of the Bible, that's John Gospel, in chapter 12. And in verse 20 and 21, you will find out here that there are other people who really inquire about Jesus. In John Gospel 12, chapter verse 20 and 21. Now there were certain Greeks. The word Greek usually in the Bible is Gentiles, but here identify the nationality of the person. Among those who came up to worship at the feast of the Jewish people. Then they came to Philip. Philip was one of the disciples who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now, the first impact on salvation, the first trigger to salvation is this point. You need to see Jesus. Don't worry about the Baptists or the Catholics. Some people tell me, well, you know, I'm a Catholic. So you're a Baptist pastor. No, I'm saved. And they got all confused. Because, see, they are not seeing Jesus in the picture. We are seeing religion. Is that right? We see this religion, this denomination, the Catholic Church believe this, the other believe this. But the key in order to be saved, remember what Jesus said, today salvation has come to you. The key is to see Jesus. All right? Now, that was his desire, so he did something about it. Let's go back to Luke 19 and in verse 4. Remember, he was short, so the crowd stopped him so he cannot see Jesus. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree, that means a lot of branches, to see him, for he was going to pass that way. All right? And so the man was quite smart. He's determined to find out who this Jesus is, period. He wants to find out that situation. What was it that got him so interested in this man named Jesus? And what? How can a person get interested, motivated to see Jesus? The Bible explained that. Explained that in the Gospel of John, in chapter 16 of the Gospel of John. And in verse 6 and all the way to verse 9, the Bible do that. Let's start the Gospel of John in chapter 16, verse 7. Now, the Bible reveals what's the secret of that motivation. Nevertheless, said Jesus, talking to the disciples, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. From chapter 13 on, Jesus talking, I'm going to leave you. And he never said, I want to die and move. He said, I want to leave you. And the disciples are scared to death. So he said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send to you. Verse 8, and when he has come, when that helper, which is the Holy Spirit, when he will come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So I have an advantage as a pastor. When I talk to a person, I have the Holy Spirit ahead of me. And if this is, I never insist, I never persist, I never overwhelm a person. I just talk to it and listen to the person respond. That tells me the Holy Spirit is on it or not. Because if the Holy Spirit is not working ahead of me, it's in vain that I work. Humanly speaking, we cannot understand Jesus. Humanly speaking, we cannot believe that Jesus resurrected from the dead. Humanly speaking, we are dead mentally. Right, but the advantage is because Jesus left in heaven, God never left the world to itself, sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, if I'm going to talk to somebody, I have a desire to talk to somebody, the Holy Spirit is ahead of me or not, I don't know. But if a person says, and who is this Jesus? And I know the Holy Spirit is on it, all right? So he took a decision, and that decision was a conviction of his heart. God was working in his heart, in this man's heart. And he said, now, I'm going to see him regardless. Now, doesn't say that the Holy Spirit told him what to do. He just motivated him to see Jesus, motivated in that remarkable crashing condition. So he experienced a divine confrontation. He doesn't know that Jesus is divine. You only hear about Jesus, and he wants to see if with his mind he can understand Jesus. Usually an IRS cares less about religion. All right? A chief executive of an IRS cares less about religion. Amazing. Amazing what happened. So don't be afraid to talk to people, but don't be overwhelming with people. Just find out if the Holy Spirit is on it. But don't tell the people, I'm a Baptist. Oh, my pastor is tall, elegant, and wonderful. No, don't say that. Don't say that. You just have to tell about what? Jesus. Is that right? About Jesus. That is the only answer to the solution. You just have to focus on Jesus. That's the way this man got informed. He had no desire to know what the Jews are doing, what the law of the Romans and the law of the Jewish people and how they match together. He put everything away and he said, I want to see that Jesus. All right. Look in verse 5, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, in verse 5. He experienced a call, what I call it. Look at it. It was a personal call. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, wow, he never met the man before. Now, this is history. He never met this man before. He never went through that road before. This is the first time they go through that size of Jericho. And look at what he said. Zacchaeus. Wow. Wow. That was a personal call. He called it by his name. That is a personal call. If you put one hand and look and go with me to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and in verse 31 and in verse 3, there is a great text that reveals the power of God and reveals the work of God among us, and thank God for this. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 3, the Bible said, "The Lord has appeared of old to me." He's given a testimony, Jeremiah, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love." God telling Jeremiah, "Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Remarkable, remarkable. With loving kindness, I have drawn you. And so it was a remarkable personal call. See, that's the way God does. No one of us is a Catholic or a Protestant or whatever. We are either believers in Christ or we are not believers in Christ. That's what it is. And I really don't like these names and denominations. We are Christians. And in Acts 11, the Bible tells us that the disciples were called for the first time Christians, the family of Christ. And so it was a personal call, Zacchaeus. And you don't have to engineer anything when you witness. You don't have to frame anything. You don't have to win anything. You just have to witness about Jesus, and God does the rest. That's the way it is. All right? Okay. Now, it was a plain call. Let's go back to Luke 19 and in verse 5. It was a very plain call. It was not, let's see your books or anything. No, look at that. Verse 5 says, Jesus said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay in your home." Actually, Jesus invited himself. All right? I mean, many times I call you and I say, "Hey, you got donuts? I'm going to have donuts with you." All right? That's very important. He invited himself. All right? And if I want to talk to somebody in McDonald's about this, I say, "Sir, I see people who are needed and they are walking around like this by the door." And I said, "Do you have food today?" "No," they open their eyes. "Do you want to have a great breakfast?" "Yeah, well, come with me." Now, there is a trick on this. Okay, what is it? You have to hear me after. You know, and they don't know who am I, you know. And so I talk to, and they're hungry, so they don't mind. And so they come, they sit, and they hear it. And they hear it. What they hear about our church? No, I never talk about our church. I hear about Jesus. You had to make a plain call. This was a plain call. They haste down. "Come on down. I want to talk to you. And I want to be in your home. Better be clean and neat and, you know, like Raquel when the fire department came in. Let's clean this before." So it is amazing, no? It's a plain call. It's not difficulty. It was a personal call as an individual. When God works with you, he deals with you individually and then makes a personal call. And it was a very promising call. And he said, "For today, I must stay at your house." A lot of people want to be with Jesus. You see, a life cannot stay the same when Jesus moves in. Let me show it to you what the Bible said. In 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 17, a person is not the same once you meet Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Look at what the Bible says. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," it means a believer, "he is a new creation. All things has passed away. Behold, all things has become what? New." And so, therefore, remember this. Remember, and I use this very much in counseling. Remember this. A life cannot stay the same when Jesus moved in. So I want to make some selection. Your marriage cannot be the same when Jesus comes in. All right? Your home life cannot be the same when Jesus comes in. Your relationship between wife and husband cannot be the same. It's just gorgeous and beautiful when Jesus comes in. All right? He changed everything. Your work experience cannot be the same. You just work like crazy and try to help your boss and help everybody. You just become an entirely different person. And so that's very important. An experience call. The call that Jesus made was very serious. Today, I'm going to be in your home. I'm going to visit you and we're going to talk about it. Actually, that was so good that they don't have to talk. There was a lot of conviction before talking. And so when Jesus comes in, young people, you are different. Your relationship with your father is different. Your relationship with your life is different. And you are seeking in your life a future ahead of you according to God. And no longer you say, oh, I want to do this or the other. You pounded yourself and you said, I wonder what God wants for me. All right? I wonder what God wants for me. Amazing. So Zacchaeus, in verse 9, Jesus said, you are a saved person. You're a son of Abraham. So how that happened? Well, he experienced a divine confrontation. Don't argue with somebody. When somebody argues, I do not spend time in argument. All right? No time in the argument. I just listen to people and offer what Christ can offer. It's very important. Then he experienced a divine call. Watch, you who are believers have the Holy Spirit, and then you know when some person is coming into the kingdom of God. Don't waste your time in argument with somebody. Just witness the joy, the greatness, the power, the peace that Christ gave you, and people will envy that. Will envy that. Amazing. Amazing. People know who you are when you have that kind of peace. Now, I told you this before, but I was getting into my car out of McDonald's, and I watched very careful who is coming after you. And a man came right over. I hear the door. Boom. Said, Bishop, Bishop. That's me. Bishop, Bishop. And said, the manager told me I had to see you. I said, maybe he needs money. You know, you never know. So, you know, I'm very tight in order to, I help people, but I had to have reasons to help. And so I put my hand in the pocket, like showing that I have a gun or something. And I said, what can I do for you? Well, look, and he pulls a Bible. I've been looking for this and so on. And he wanted to have an argument in theology or something that had been said. I said, have you seen Jesus in the Bible? He said, well, I never looked at the Bible like that. Well, go home and read it again. Read the whole New Testament. It's only, it's very easy, 27 books. You just zoop, read it in one night. And then you come tomorrow, we have a cup of coffee, and you tell me about Jesus. I never saw the man again. But he was happy. He said, oh, that's a good idea. See, we men have created a lot of things, don't we? We have created this, we have created this doctrine and doctrine. But when we see Jesus, things is clear. All right. Now, the next point is he experienced what I call a divine conversion. And that's from verse 6. So let's go back to look from verse 6 all the way to verse 10. So he experienced a divine confrontation. Jesus called him. He experienced a divine call. Jesus said, I want to be with you. And now a divine confrontation. Now, he responded to the call in verse 6. So he made haste and came down and received him, I like the last word, joyfully. Luke 19, verse 6. He made haste, he came down and received him joyfully. All right? Zacchaeus did exactly what the Lord has told him to do. You notice? Previously, the Lord said to Zacchaeus in verse 5, come down, I want to be in your house. And in order to understand God, you have to do exactly what God said. No changes about it. No options about it. Don't say, no, you know, I'm a Roman Catholic. One man has a baptism certificate one time in an elevator. And he said, I just got this signed by Pope Paul, remember? And I said, well, that's nothing. I said, nothing? No, mine is signed by Jesus. And the Lord looked to me like that and said, how old is this guy? You see, just trying to help people. He made exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, I be in your home. He said, Jesus, come down to my home. He came down. And know that telling you that he had no arguments. When you come to the Bible, the good way to do it, if God is on it, if God is in you, you came down from your arguments. You came down to the arguments. You don't have any more argument. How is this? How is the other? You know, when people are trying to talk to me and say, oh, how about this? How about the other? So I don't talk anymore because God is not on it. When God is on it, you want to find out what is it, not argument. All right? Came down. He received him. Look, as a guest. So he made haste and came down and received him. You know, when somebody knocked the door, if somebody you don't like it, you keep it at the door, all right? But if you like it, say, please come in. I have some donuts for you. Come on. I have some chocolate and coffee. And I have chocolate cake, whatever you like it. I hope you like chocolate cake. It's very important. Now, here's what it is. He came down. And he received him. You know, you can tell when somebody is going to understand God or not, because the person have argument, and that's not on it. If the person has excuses, that's not on it. And so he received him. He said, come on. He have heard the claims of Jesus. He had heard the call of Jesus, and now he makes the commitment. He makes a commitment. Come on and sit down here and tell me the story. You know, that's exactly how you and I became a believer. Put one hand here in the Gospel of Luke and go with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. Now, I want to show you one verse that is just like a compressed verse who tells everything, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In that verse, the Bible tells you exactly what happened to all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus. All right? Now, notice that who believe in the Lord Jesus. That would be Catholics, that would be Protestant, that would be people everywhere. Whatever label we use outside, leave it alone. But look at here, verse 13. He said, therefore, said the Apostle Paul, you also trust after you heard the word of truth, that's the gospel of your salvation. In other words, there is a first step in your life. You have to meet Jesus, and you meet Jesus in the word. Okay? The word of the Lord. And whom also, having believed, you cannot become indifferent, don't we? Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so there is a trauma in this. And here it is. First, you hear the word, and you said, oh, well, when the meeting is over, I'm going to go home. I remember I was 12, 13, 14, sitting on the second pew with my aunt, sitting out here, my other aunt, and listening, and I was doing like this in the church. Oh, I was awful. And I want the service to get over, all right, so that I can go and so on. And I said, when I want to be 18, so I cannot be here and so on. And but my family forced me, and my aunt was a holy woman, patient. And she had good desserts, and so she enticed me. My grandma was gone; the aunt took over. And when I come, here is the beauty of this: you listen to the word of God. That's impossible to know Jesus without the word of God. You listen to the word of God, and then you believe the word of God. You cannot say, "Oh, I like that." And that's not belief. I believe, and that's what God does, okay? So Zacchaeus came down, Zacchaeus received him, and know that he have heard the claims, as I said, and he have heard the call. Now he, in a marvelous way, makes a commitment, and that verse 6 clearly, joyfully, he said, he received it. Now, verse 8 in Luke chapter 19, in verse 8, now this is to me the proof of salvation. Now, in our church, we do that. You get baptized, and we give you a baptism certificate. And I'm afraid to do that, but I do it just for your memory. But I don't want you to use that certificate as saying, see, I'm saved. I have a certificate from Bethel Baptist Church and signed from this gorgeous guy, Gabriel Otero. That would be terrible, all right? What could be that you and me can tell that person is saved? Verse 8. Look at verse 8 here. Then Zacchaeus stood and said, now Jesus don't say, I know you're a crook, I know you this, and don't say a word, okay? They're still there. And he said, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I mean crooking, I restore, according to the law, fourfold. The law in Exodus require if a person steals, you pay four times what you steal, and you are clear. In other words, he demonstrated a change, don't we? Before you come in with the taxes and come on here, and he said, okay, put something under the table and do that. I learned from people that there are some unions guys who look for a job, say, well, put some money under the table, we get a job. Something like that. Under the table. Nobody say, oh, all right, I see your taxes. Do you want me a stamp? Okay, but put 200 cows under the table and you go. Okay, in that time, I'm talking about he was a professional crook with license, like many today in government, all right? So then something happened to him in verse 8. He said, Lord, the Lord don't ask him anything. The Lord doesn't say, hey, what do you did? No, even a question to him. But when you are a believer, your consciousness tells you what is wrong, don't it? When you're a believer, your consciousness parallels you with Jesus. And then you say, oh, I blew it. And the Lord says, I know it. It's that beautiful. It made me cry. When you met Jesus, you will never be the same, period. Now, let me show you in the Old Testament a passage in the book of Ezekiel here. It is remarkable. It is in chapter 36 of Ezekiel, and it starts in verse 33. Ezekiel 36, verse 33. Thus said the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Now look at verse 36. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what is desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken. You know how the people will know you're a Christian. So I used to have a little sign here. I used to have a Bible here. And so I took all this out. People should know that I am a Christian by the way I behave. By the way I behave. People should know that I'm a Christian when they talk to my wife and say, what about Gabriel? And say, oh, he's so gorgeous. Quotation. All right. You know what I mean? We are imperfect, don't we? We are imperfect. But there is a heart of a conviction. There is a heart of love. And this is so important. He demonstrated a change. And when you have a changed life, people cannot deny it. They can argue about a statement you made, but they cannot argue about a life who lived for God. And that's what this man happened to him. All right, he demonstrated a change. And then Jesus, of course, gave a confirmation. I start the service with that in verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today's salvation has come to this house because he also is the Son of God. Today's salvation has come. What a remarkable. There is an inner witness in this. That you are saved. You cannot explain it how, but there is an inner witness. And I'm going to show you in the scripture. In the book of Romans, for example, in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, in verse 16, the Bible revealed that God do something for us in a marvelous way. Romans 8:16, the Bible says, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself, that we are the children of God. You don't know how to explain it. Somebody said, how did you get saved? I cannot explain it. I don't know how to say it. But I tell you, at one moment I saw the truth and I believe it. That's what happened. That's the salvation of God. Okay? I can ask you to raise your hand. I can ask you to go around the building. It means nothing. What means is when God talks to your heart and you get convicted. All right? My conclusion is very simple. How Zacchaeus was saved? Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. Give the answer. Chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus is speaking. And look at what he says. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When I was young, I never thought I was lost. Come on. I'm 14 years old. I'm 17 years old, already a professional soccer player. My mother was worried about what. Thank God in Argentina at that time, if you were below 21, you cannot get your salary. Your parents will get your salary. You work, but your parents get your salary so that they manage your salary for you. Amazing, no? I think the law is gone now, but I thank God that law was there, because what do you do when you get extra money at 17? Crazy thing, don't it? So Zacchaeus got saved by God. By God. And he knew it. He got convicted. Have you? I got convicted one day. I was 18. I knew everything, but I was religious, but I don't believe it. But one day, I believe it. You hear me over the radio in KKNC. You hear me over the internet. Do you believe it? That's very important. That's very important. This is still true today. Say, I don't have to climb a tree, thank God, to meet Jesus. All right? Where then somebody asked me in McDonald's a fair question. Said, where do we find Jesus? It's Mark Cookie and everybody around him. And they're all Spanish. Well, they brought the idol to trouble me. I said, well, right here in the Gospel of John, the Bible tells us where you meet Jesus. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, the Bible tells me exactly where you meet Jesus today. He said, today? Today, sir, today. Are you sure? I'm sure. Here's the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And look at with me in verse 30 and in verse 31. It's just clever. Here. And truly Jesus did many other signs or miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is in the Bible that you find Jesus. So you cannot have conviction unless you read the Bible, don't we? Why? Because in Romans 10:17, the Bible said, faith come by hearing, and not hearing me, hearing the Word of God. Not too long ago from Santa Cruz, there was a priest speaking on Saturday night. I thought he was a safe, wonderful man. I never want to miss his preaching. He preached. I said, I pray for him. Lord, the Catholic Church or any church needs a preaching like that. He did a preaching that raised the roof, and he was presenting the Bible and Jesus. And Jesus. I don't hear him anymore. Maybe they transferred to someplace else. But I tell you something. Each time I hear Jesus, my heart just is in tune. Why? Because I have him. See? Coming to church, when I remember when I found and believed, I said, why the church is only on Sunday? I want the church to be every day of the week. I was so excited because I'm going to meet Jesus. Are you saved? I mean, can you say I'm a son of Abraham? Yes, one time the Lord had given me that conviction and I'm saved. When people are saved, they demonstrate it. They show it. With all our imperfections, with all our shortcomings, we show the love of God. May God grant to you, if you're not saved, may God grant to you that conviction that makes all the difference in the world. Heavenly Father, we are so delighted. We are so delighted that indeed Jesus Christ has come and has blessed us. And indeed Jesus has given us everlasting life. I cannot explain how that happened, but I know it happened. And I pray that this short explanation today will help someone to read the scripture and find the convicting power of God, and he or she will become a Christian. In Jesus we pray, amen.